There will not be any voting on whether she does good or not, though. Okay. So this will be my first, as I said, first report. And I'd like to thank Pearl for sending us the anniversary letters to the staff and their all of their years. And we know, you know, what good work they do, but sometimes we're not aware of exactly the kinds of work that they do. And Pearl Ice makes mentions of that in her appreciation letters. And to me, they're very helpful because it helps me get to know that person a little bit better. And we like receiving the client evaluation of how well they think they've done, what they liked about the commission, what they didn't like, all those things. And those are always very, very interesting. I mean, even more than the anniversary lesson, I really enjoy hearing the kinds of experiences that they have. And then I wanted to make mention of people that have moved on to different positions, and one of those was Val Peary. And whereas Kathy, I know, is going to do a wonderful job for us, Val did a very good job for us too, and I just wanted to recognize her. Also wanted to recognize Leah Dietrich, who I didn't, well, unfortunately, was never able to meet, and I know that she did some wonderful things for us, including looking at the website and helping with the packet for the new commissioners. And they're going to have lots and lots of things to read through, I'm sure. And but it'll be helpful because, as Daryl, I'm sure, will attest, there's a lot to learn before you sit on this board. And I kind of half-heartedly mentioned our new administrative assistant, who is still actively taking her training, Kathy Stevens. And we appreciate her coming and doing this work for us today, and we're going to enjoy getting to know her better. Then we also have a new position that came open, the older blind specialist, which Deanna Jesse has taken on. And I'm really excited about that. I think that's something that we've needed because there are so many senior citizens that are blind, and we need to, you know, do more things for them. Let's see. Okay, then we do a conference call with a group called Blind Services SRC networking group, which we're continuing to do and see how that goes. I was on the phone call that night, but I had to leave early, and I happen to know that our former chairman, Barbara Loos, chaired that particular meeting that evening, so I'm going to give her a few minutes to tell us a little more about that.
Do you want me to do that right
Yes,
now?
Yes, right
oh,
now.
Oh, okay. Okay. I think really the two main things that we talked about that night were where a little bit about where the group wants to go, if it does want to go there, and how to make that happen. And for the rest of this year, the is it the NCSAB?
Yes, National Council,
Council
of
State,
State
Agencies for the Blind is funding the phone calls, and there will be another one on the 3rd of December. It decided that it would meet one more time, and that it would try to meet on the first Monday of the month every 2 months. The other decision was to have some kind of a question be at the meat of the discussion so that we wouldn't be redoing everything each time the meetings convened. The question for this upcoming one will be having to do with staff surveys, because we had talked about that some during that meeting in October, but people didn't feel like it had been concluded. So we're not only going to be talking about staff surveys, but also client surveys, satisfaction surveys. And so that's the main thrust of the questioning. And there was some discussion about how to get a specific group of people together so that we could have either potentially a listserv or some other communication method for reaching everybody all at once with these questions, and how to make it possible for the various boards and state rehab councils that are represented to get feedback, you know, get the information that we've shared at the meetings, and also give their feedback for the next meeting. So it's still in its kind of looking around for its purpose stage.
Okay. So we'll continue to go with that. And let's see. Oh, the we got the new brochure, and it's printed and going to be very useful. And we learned of that we are going to be using office space up here on the fourth floor and expanding downstairs, and I'm sure glad that somebody else besides me is figuring all that out, because, man, that sounds like quite an undertaking to me, but I'm glad it's going to work out for people. Let's see. I talked about the new packets that the board is, new board members are going to be receiving when they start on the board, and I really think that's one of the best ideas we've had. Maybe not the best, but a very good idea, because it's very, when especially if you've never really attended too many meetings or whatever, and you don't really understand what the board really does. And we are excited about the new logo contest that we'll have, and it's going to come, I think it's going to be finishing up the end of this month, and then we'll be making a decision on which one will be the winner, and I'm looking forward to being a part of that decision. And then we'd like to congratulate Fatosh Floyd and the group of people that she took over to Turkey to do the Blind Corp thing, and we're going to hear about that this morning before we're done. I am lost in my notes. Oh, yes, the employment seminar that went down in Topeka, Kansas, that Fatosh and some of the clients went down to present, as well as participate in that activity. And then we got letters saying how wonderful they had done and stuff, which I guess doesn't really surprise any of us, that we knew that they would do a wonderful job, and we're really glad that they took part in that. We want to congratulate Jeff Altman for writing a very informative article about how to work with clients, you know, during center activities, and there's certain things that will make it easier for everybody concerned and so forth, and it was very good. I think anybody could learn from that article. It's very good. And we had Pearl participate in a proclamation, the forming of this proclamation and the presentation of for disability employees, not just blind people, but blind people being some of them too. And I think it helps to make that more aware that there are more and more people with disabilities out there working on a regular basis and making money and paying taxes, and this is a very good thing too. We received an article that I'm assuming was the I'm not sure if Hawaii has a, is a commission or if they're a rehabilitation center. Okay, I'm going to shut up here. But anyway, I like that that article mostly because I'm really proud of Randy and Ryan Strunk for having the being able to move out to a totally different state, total different way of life, I would think, almost, and working well. And I think that's due to a lot to the staff at the commission working with them. Let's see, I have one more thing here that's of importance. I don't think so. Okay, I'm going to be done. Now we have another period of public comment. So if there's any, you know, questions to for me or for anything else you might have on your mind, now is the time.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Nancy McGlorow. I didn't get a chance to say anything earlier because we're moving on. But I wanted to thank Diane and Karen both for coming and giving their Saturday. And I know that that I've learned a lot from teachers, you know, through the years, because there's a great deal of difference working with children versus adults, which we typically do. And, you know, they really led me in being a much better teacher. So I value what I've gained from them. And then I think on both sides, Diane and I were talking, we've all made mistakes. But I'm really encouraged as a part of the protocol process. And, you know, I've seen a difference already in IEPs where they're asking us. We have a NCVBI representative here. Let's talk about all the different transition programs and services that are occurring because we are a team. And this is happening, and our students really benefiting. There's some valuable services. And school districts have called to line up a joint meeting with our staff and their staff. So I think that's very encouraging. And I just want to acknowledge the teachers and Karen for coming today. So thank you for a few minutes.
Yeah, I think they deserve another round of applause. Thank you, Nancy. Are there any other comments from the public or questions? Okay, hearing none, we will go to Pearl, the executive director, her report.
Thank you. All right. First, I'll report on our field services. These numbers are as of the end of October 1, as of October 1, the end of the previous federal fiscal year. We served 1,177 people in all statuses. 550 were vocational rehabilitation. And during the year, we had 59 successful closures. I'm sure you all remember the number from last quarter was 39 there. So in the past quarter, 20 clients have become employed.
Wow.
So we're really proud of that. Three of those were center clients. Some of the jobs that the people that have gained employment, child care worker, telephone service representative, translator, mental health counselor, support analyst, factory worker, customer services representative, residential advisor, vocational rehabilitation counselor, and two independent homemakers. Then in independent living, we serve 627 people with 153 successful closures in that time. Some of the district news, Lincoln finished another placement class. The clients learned about networking, filling out job applications, interviewing, disclosure of their blindness, workplace attitudes, and they had mock interviews. They held the third of four sessions of GATE, that's the group training for independent living skills, and two of the GATE clients are now in the center. And we closed some other jobs that people got from Lincoln District clients were the mechanic assistant and real estate agent, in addition to some of those that I mentioned above. There are many more still in follow-up status. Also, a client volunteered to come and reorganize the kitchen that's as part of the Lincoln District. And we're hiring one of our clients through the state temporary services to answer the phones when we need somebody to cover there. Then in Omaha, just a few of the things, we had a special training for staff in job placement led by a consultant from Colorado, Buna Dahal, who's quite recognized nationally in the employment for people who are blind field. And she also came last year to train the Lincoln District, and we're looking at bringing her back again for North Platte later. She does a really great job. Omaha also has been very busy with their completing all the year-end work they need to do for the PILBO grant to provide independent living equipment for older blind Omahans. And in North Platte District, they had a very successful FYI program for your independence. They also had some clients attend the Senior Blind Workshop at the NFB convention, which was held in North Platte. All districts are helping cover the Kearney caseload, since right now both the Voc Rehab Counselor and the Orientation Counselor positions in Kearney are vacant. And so we're all pitching in to cover the clientele. And they'll have a combined office meeting in December. A few things from the center report. 153 full-time clients have completed center training from 1996 to November of 07. And of the clients who have completed training and schooling, 91.5% are employed, and only 6.5% are not working. The others are still students or in some kind of training. They've had a lot of activities this past quarter, carving pumpkins, a Halloween luncheon and costumes, and I know a lot of the folks made their own costumes. Some of the staff trainees, in fact, made their own costumes in training. They went to the state fair, both attended, and had some entries in baking. We had an incident at the fair where the people who were running a ride didn't want to allow our group to get on the bumper boats, and we went all the way to the governor's office, and we got on those boats. That was kind of a big deal. They attended the state NFB convention. They went to the Applejack Festival in Nebraska City. They're having Family and Friends Day today, which is taking the place of the Center Thanksgiving Buffet. So that's going to be really different this year, not to have that banquet, but but the day-to-day will be very important. And then, as Nancy, you already mentioned, the center clients and Fatosh attended the employment workshop in Kansas. Staff updates, huge amount of activity this past quarter. Eric Sandberg completed his training. Val left on September 3rd, and I should say she really wanted to be here. She had intended to come and help with the lunch, and she had all these plans, but she had to work. So she said to tell everyone hello and be careful what you wish for. Also, Jean Wirtz left us October 31st. Sahar Husseini started again on August 31st and has since been established in her official permanent capacity with her green card approved. Yes. Mitzi Buchanan started September 4th. Kathy Stevens started September 24th. Deanne Jesse was promoted to program specialist October 1st. And then the Governor's Awards, this year the Employee of the Year was Jan Brandt and Supervisor of the Year Connie Daly. Yes. So lots of activity this quarter. Congratulations, Connie. Connie was actually in Turkey when the event with the governor was held, so we missed that opportunity. Then Lots of other things. The Older Blind Services Project, it's already been mentioned. The key focus there is to establish ways to help keep individuals in their own homes and out of nursing homes, collecting data about the total number of people receiving Medicaid waivered services, the number of people who are blind that receive such services, and then the total who are at risk of nursing home placement of blind people. National Council of State Agencies for the Blind, I was elected treasurer. Winterfest program was held. We had 13 teams and a very excellent program on leisure time activities. We've had some really good mentoring grant events, both the group activities as well as, of course, the individualized mentoring work. The last statewide event was in Omaha, and it included some self-defense training, which was really popular, and attended the White Cane Banquet in addition to other things they focused on. We are submitting a new grant proposal to continue the PILBO for the Omaha area. We're planning to request $23,000 this year, with $20,000 for technology and $3,000 for administrative charges. Candy Larson and Vicki Rasmussen are still working on the survey for clients throughout the rehab process. They've completed a draft, and they'll be working with Carlos to fine-tune that document and figure out procedures for how to implement the survey. 12 staff attended a really excellent regional employment conference that was held in Kansas City. We learned a lot there and are hoping to bring one of the key speakers here to Lincoln for a workshop next year, partnering with Folk Rehab on that, and maybe even some hospitals. We also, I guess, a couple things that I'll try not to repeat what you talked about, Nancy.
Okay.
The White Cane Proclamation Day was held, and Governor's award of that, recognition of that. The transition team, we've already talked about the protocol that was developed. We're starting October 1, we're now certifying vocational rehabilitation counselors for the blind. We have developed the procedures for how we're going to manage that system, and we have 13 applications on file. So we have a few more from people who are currently serving as voc rehab counselors that have not submitted, that I'm sure will be soon. E-Force is another big effort, of course. Dottie Wilmot and Robert Newman have been testing every single screen of the system. They're making note of technical issues, procedural, and accessibility issues. And then Bill Brown has arranged for a programmer from the State Chief Information Office to work to actually implement all the changes that are needed to the system. We had really hoped to have it up and going October 1, but due partly to staffing issues and partly to some technical problems where the whole state system was down for a little while, that has been kind of slow to get back in gear. But it's coming. Let's see. Then we did issue a policy to all staff restricting the purchase of technology, which requires more than an hour or two of technical instruction for clients of our independent living track. Unless we're able to contract with vendors, and a big issue, the biggest issue is the limitations of staff time, and to some extent funding, but staff time is really a major issue there. We completed the 3-year application for older blind funds submitted to Rehab Services Administration. A committee is working to revise job descriptions for a number of our positions. We really have very old and in some cases no job descriptions, so that's been a challenge, and that's coming along. Technology positions, we're in the process of evaluating how much time people are spending on different kinds of needs. We want to see how we can improve technology services and make the best use of the time that technology specialists put in. I'm trying to talk fast because I have so much. Carlos has met with each district to set placement goals and to develop strategies to increase full-time employment outcomes. And I think you've seen some of the results already have been very good. They'll continue these meetings twice a year in each district. Also, Carlos and Bob Beaton have been meeting with the field offices on a regular basis. They don't go to every office meeting, but they're making the rounds and getting much more in tune with what's happening in the field. And I think that's increased communication and effectiveness in many ways. Lincoln office space, we're actually moving to the third floor. It's been a lot of work and pretty exciting stuff. We will be in the west wing of third floor, so just two floors up from where administration is now. And we have some beautiful space up there. It'll be really nice. It's still, they're doing some construction to make it fit what our needs are. And then we're also having workstations built that'll be, well, all of us, pretty much most of us, are using furniture which is at least 30 years old, desks and little tables and all sorts of things that are very old. And so we are getting workstations now that are really much more efficient for people to use. And so the plan is the move will happen when the workstations, well, obviously when the construction is done on third floor, but then when the workstations for the administrative staff that are moving are completed, we'll move up into those. You know, they'll be put together and we'll move at that time. Then Lincoln District will move, the reception desk will stay where it is in the mail room, so Betty and Cheryl will stay there. And then the rest of Lincoln District, except for Nancy Kaufman, will move into the West Wing, where current administration is. Also in that area, Terry Harris and Don Ward from Nebraska Business Enterprise will be located in that area. Then we're the other NBE person, Jan Stokebrand, will be in the office right next to where Betty and Cheryl in the mailroom are. Then she'll be in the currently Bob Shanklin's office. So they'll be kind of close together anyway. center staff will move into the east end of what is currently Lincoln District. And then, of course, centers will continue on down the hall. We'll have a new student lounge. We'll have at least two rooms in the current Lincoln area that will be empty for providing teaching. There was a time a year or so ago when we had an intern work with us, and she had nowhere to sit. You know, it was really difficult, and sometimes we have guests come in, or Vicki Rasmussen comes in, and they just kind of have to try to get an office that somebody's out for the day. So, you know, it's very exciting. We'll have much better usable space for everybody. Also, for workstations, we will have new workstations in the Norfolk office. We're getting people ergonomic chairs when they let us know that they need one. We're trying to upgrade a lot of what we have, most of which Dr. Nyman remembers. also, Bill Brown attended the National Financial Management Conference that Rehab Services Administration puts on. In terms of the vending programs, they've been very active in NBE. There's setting up for the new Zerinsky building in Omaha by mid-January, probably. That keeps the date keeps being put off, but we really think it'll be mid-January now. Thank you. We have a bid on a new city law enforcement facility in Grand Island, probably early January if that's accepted, and a new facility at Shizuki, which is a capacitor facility in Ogallala, possibly for late December. Department of Roads continues to update rest areas, so some of the facilities will be closed for months at a time, and that's just something we don't have any control over. We do have the Braille menus on some machines, and there are more that are being made for others. The vendor that's making those is leaving the program and going back to school, so we'll be in process of identifying a new person to work on that. And we've tried to have it be one of the vendors because of the knowledge of how the menus are set up, or I mean how the machines are set up, and some things that are kind of specific to what vendors need to make their to have the Braille menus be work effectively for them. Those are the highlights of the last quarter. I know there are other things that I haven't mentioned, but those are the main things that I could think of.
Okay, thank you, Pearl.
I should apologize before we go any further that, you know, leaving out some of the other new staff personnel that we came on. Someplace along the line, I lost all those names, I suppose. But anyway, I had the opportunity to talk to Eric on the phone, and we're getting to know Kathy today, and we really do like to get to know the new staff people and so forth. Now we have public comment again, so are there any questions or comments or pertaining to Pearl's report or anything else? I don't hear any. So we will go on. The next thing I have is old business. Now I'm wondering if, you know.
Should we do the blind core thing?
Yeah, I'm wondering if it would be an appropriate time to do the blind core thing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that. We're all excited about that, to hear what Fatosh has to tell us. So Fatosh, if you're ready, we would just love to hear you.
All right.
Actually, I have Connie Daly and Nancy Flora here to help me out.
Oh, great.
May I say that, and I'm bringing the microphone to set it there. It's on the table.
Nancy and Connie are both right now doing some work for our lunch.
Oh, okay. then I will do it. In... 4 years ago, when I went to Turkey for a visit, Connie and Nancy came for to see Turkey and to be with us, and we traveled a lot in Turkey. But we also did. I put them to work, and we did quite a bit of work with, especially with the kids and teenagers, doing cane travel instruction and talking with the families. And also, at the time, they were doing the call center for the Turkish Airlines, and totally giving the call center to the disabled individuals to work with. So Nancy and Connie had a lot of experience in Omaha with the call center. So we had a meeting with the head of Turkish Airlines and talked to us, you know, the how it is done in here and what the problems might be. So 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago, they transferred the call center to the group, and now there are 200 disabled individuals work in the call center, and there are no actually able-bodied people working there. And one-third of the call center, about 35 individuals are blind individuals working, using JAWS. I think we all got the taste of it at that time. So 2005, November, myself and Michael, Connie, and Nancy, Robert Newman, and Sean, our journalists, got together and formed the Blind Corps. And the idea was to, for us, as volunteers, to go developing countries and share our knowledge and experience in rehab. Of course, the first country that came to mind is Turkey. and of course, I had connections in Turkey, and so with the partner, with the Beyaz Eye, who is a nonprofit organization in Turkey, and Istanbul municipality, we had the project done. Beyaz Eye paid our way to get there. We used our vacation time, and Istanbul municipality provided us with a camp area, and we started the project. The project started, we went there, reached there 13th, got ready the 14th and 15th evening. The participants started to come, and we started the project on the 16th. Our last day was the 30th, and we had a break 31st and 1st, and then 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th, we visited the other foundations and other organizations related to blindness and did presentations, a lot of them, from 8 o'clock to like 1 o'clock at night. So we were really busy. And we really, you know, it was our first experience. And our job here as Blind Corps is to take our expertise, but also we raised a lot of money. Well, for us, it was a lot of money. It wasn't a lot of money. to take canes, slates, styluses, daily living equipment, but they're all low-tech equipment, and ideas about low-tech equipment so that they don't have to depend on getting those equipments from here, but can produce it in their own country. So we took a lot of equipment there. And the Beyaz Eye's job is to organize and kind of do the things that's necessary before the project started. And Istanbul municipality gave us the area to work in and provided with food and such things. So at the first couple of days, we had 24 participants. The last meal we had 52 people eating. when people heard about the project, they start coming. And until the last 3 days, we had people just show up, you know. It really, I thought I worked really hard here. I mean, I really did. And it, nothing can be this intense and this hard work. And we had great evaluations. And actually, the evaluations say they wish that they had another week. And I'm thinking, they had another week, probably my body will come as dead person here. You know, we started at 8 o'clock in the morning and 11 o'clock at night, non-stop, you know, and that was really very, very intense. The thing was incredible and really, really worthwhile. All the participants come in, they were so incredibly hungry for any kind of a knowledge. You know, when we go out from our rooms, it was a camp area, there were a lot of roads and sidewalks and stuff, and it was like 15-acre area. And you see people with their canes and sleep shades and working at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And I want to bring all of you here to show to our clients what dedication is, you know. But they knew this was their only chance, you know, and whatever they got out of the training, you know, that was it. The participants were, some of them were the people who are educators of blind people. There are blind people learning the skills. There were family members there training with them to gain, you know, more understanding. And all the training, and there were blind people and sighted people. All the training were for both the under sleep shades and using structure discovery techniques. Everybody had their canes, and the rule was that they were going to carry their cane. Sighted guide was not permitted, and we had sighted individuals use their cane 2 days nonstop, even after the training, to gain some understanding to how to put the cane and, you know, how to store the cane, how to use it, and we wanted them to get the reaction of the workers, because the camp was for disabled people, and the people are working there told to kind of, you know, work in a way that to help totally with the people that they go for a camp. And here we came, and so the first days, you know, if I want to get a tea, there were three people, you know, saying one is grabbing my glass, the other was trying to pour the tea. And so after 3 days, they realized that, you know, that's not the way it is supposed to be. So I'm really sorry for the blind people going to go out next year, because nobody is going to help them.
But Josh, excuse me,
yeah.
Connie and Nancy are back.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So Connie, Nancy, you weren't here, so I started. So would you please take from this?
Are you going to sing?
No, not singing.
At the opening ceremony, they asked us to sing. So we ended up singing a song, but
Canton Road?
Which is a very sad
song. Can I ask what you said?
Country Roads. We at 10 o'clock at night, we're trying to figure out what song we all
because we heard that there was a opening ceremony at 1 o'clock that afternoon. Yeah, and then we all sang a song together, you know, one of the Turkish songs together. There was a lot of la 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 around, so you didn't have to memorize. But all the dignitaries came, the mayor and several people from the municipality and Beyazai. And so it was a very good ceremony, and it was on TV, and we had people doing different tasks, you know, cutting, and there was a guy knitting and a guy threading a needle, and so we really tried to go for changing the philosophy of being a male and female and the task they, I mean, for my culture, that's really kind of important. And so they had pictures in the newspaper, this guy knitting. It was really cool.
It was an awesome experience. You know, as Batosh said, you know, one of the things that was really impressive was just how hungry and eager they were for the training. But the other thing that really struck me is during our seminars, they would talk about how it's, you know, after getting some training, it really isn't blindness that's the issue, it's society's attitudes about blindness. I mean, that didn't come from us. That came from them. It's society's attitudes about blindness. It's, you know, we need to change the way we act and perform in order to change those attitudes. And it was just like a universal truth. It was that really, really struck home, you know.
When people first came, most people were going sighted guide, or they'd have little trains. And by the time they left, you know, people were walking up and going through line and getting their own food and carrying their trays back. You know, they had no concept of that. One woman who had never used a cane before said somebody tried to give her a cane. This was day 3 of the training. I made a note of it. She said, somebody tried to give me a cane, but I thought the cane was a bother and a nuisance. And now I realize that after all these years of asking people to take me places, maybe I was the nuisance versus the cane, and now I'll never be without my cane. And so to hear people commenting about not just the skills, but how they felt about themselves was very, very powerful. So it was a life-changing experience, for sure.
And so the evaluations are really, really good, and they want us back again. So next year may not have us for another 3 weeks. You know. But they, at the end, they gave us a plaque. It's a really awesome.
So that's it for it.
It had a hard life on the trip back. It's crystal.
It's
in a beautiful red. It's all in one piece.
Oh, that's good.
It's in a red velvet box. And then, Patoche, you'll have to tell them what it says. In the top right-hand corner, it has about rehabilitation.
Yeah, it says, it is a blackboard. It is a depiction of blackboard. And it says, on the top, it says the lesson, and the it's in Turkish, isn't that?
Yes,
right?
It is.
Okay. It says I can't remember what it says.
Rehabilitation.
We named the project as Futures in Blindness. So that's the Turkish version of the lesson. I mean, and the subject is?
It has a logo for BASI, and it says Blind Corps, and then it says at the bottom, the board of BASI, I think. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I can do this. It is a chalkboard, and then it has a little crystal piece of chalk that looks like chalk, and then a little crystal that looks like the eraser for the blackboard.
Oh, that is beautiful.
And it just...
Maybe you can pass.
And it's all crystal.
Can we touch it?
Maybe
at lunch or something.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Cool. I can think of a dozen questions I'd love to ask.
You know, the Blind Corps, is that something? I mean, it's obviously a concept that's got universal application. Did you guys have do anything formal? I mean, obviously, it'd be neat if other, you know, blind people with such skills as you have, you know, you think of Mexico just right on our border, I'm sure they could benefit from such a program. Is there any ideas or thoughts of how to expand this Blind Corps concept?
Sure. Actually, one of our, the people who went is Michael. Actually, he didn't have all the time, so he took 2 weeks of vacation without pay to go. And Nancy, me, Robert Newman, Connie, and Buna, the half from Colorado. And Buna is from Nepal, and so she's thinking taking this there. We got an interest from India. I mean, Turkey is not the only place, so yes. I mean, if there's an interest from Mexico, we'll be more than glad to.
The Philippines.
Oh, yeah, Philippines, yeah.
Wyoming.
No. It's just hard to justify what is underdeveloped country.
Oh, jeez.
So are you guys going to be recruiting more people to?
Yes, actually, we have a huge list, and there are some people that are really, really mad at us because they weren't part of or the group. Yes, I mean, and that was really, to me, was really the most amazing thing because, I mean, you know, Nancy and I and Connie, Robert, we know each other, and you know, we know that we could count on us, but I didn't realize how much interest was out there, somebody that wanna do this and spend their vacation or whatever time to go and do this, you know. So yes, there's a lot of interest out there.
That's terrific. I hope this just explodes and
hope so.
Have you been in contact with like the United Nations? I mean,
no.
I mean, you know, of course, this is just the beginning. I mean, there's
yeah,
so, you know.
And, exactly. And what we wanted to do, we got our nonprofit status, and that was really important for us. And we wanted to have one project under our belt because, you know, we're an unknown entity, and as long as you don't have something to show,
sure,
people are really hesitant to help or be, you know, do something with you. So now, you know, we have a project, and we have a really very successful project that we can get support from probably those entities.
Mary?
Yes.
Patosh, you mentioned to me some interest from the officials in Turkey
yes.
for coming here. Would you talk
yeah.
about that?
Well, they want this twofold, or threefold, actually. They want us to come and next time around train 35 or so school teachers. There are 16 schools for the blind in Turkey. They already got the permission for two from each school to come to be trained. And part of the great thing is that they're going to use some of the us and some of the people that we already trained this time around. They are really good people. And then there's an interest opening a rehabilitation center for the blind in Istanbul under the Istanbul municipality. And the third interest is they're going to invite our governor to go to Turkey for a visit. And they are thinking of sending some of the really top-level kind of people that they think needs the training as educators here in our center for 3-month training.
Cool.
That's terrific, too.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Patosh.
You're welcome.
Connie and Nancy and... No, Michael isn't here, but thank him, too.
Yeah, he's working, so that's why he didn't come.
Yeah, so we really appreciate it. I just really think this is exciting, and the fact that some might come here is wonderful, too. And I just hope, I really do hope this whole thing just explodes and people realize that, you know, we get these other countries in tune, too. It will be just wonderful. So thank you, everybody. We really enjoyed that.
Who should I give?
Yes, okay.
Okay, I guess I don't know what time it is. I keep
yes,
asking
yes.
that.
11:39. Well, I don't know. You can take your pick.
Okay, well, anyway, I think we have time to keep, well, I know we have time to keep pushing on, so we will do that.
No, we've got time. We've got to go.
So we're into old business now, and the first thing is the budget update.
All right. We received Social Security reimbursements in October for almost $475,000. And we've been spending some of that money, as you might think, with some of the things we've already talked about. Our basic budget depends on some of the Social Security reimbursement because our basic financial plan plans for about $173,000 per year of Social Security reimbursement, and we've had some years recently where we didn't get any or very little of that reimbursement money. A part of the new things that we've been doing were sort of because we knew that this would be coming and we could begin some things. The workstations are a good example. You know, that's allowed us to go ahead and do some things that we've really needed to do for decades and haven't been able to do, and better utilize our office space, adding the new space upstairs, and things like that. We are, as I mentioned, opening some new vending opportunities in Grand Island and Omaha, and spending money on that. Of course, we now have a new Braille instructor, and who's in training, as soon as Mitzi finishes training and becomes the computer instructor, we'll be able to move Sahar into the Braille instructor position. Having a half-time orientation counselor at North Platte, a half-time business enterprise accountant clerk. These are things that we had either not had before or had been a very long time, or in the case of North Platte, the layoff, when our funds were so low, we were able to go ahead and continue those. Now, I have to say, though those positions are not added as a result of the Social Security funds, because we recognize that's a one-time, we hope to continue, you know, as people get more and more jobs, of course, we will continue to get Social Security reimbursement, but we don't make staffing decisions based on those, because they're not predictable. But having those have allowed us at this time to get back into some things that we need to do. It's given us some flexibility in our overall budget, so I hope that makes sense. Case service expenditures remain fairly high right now. However, we're pretty much on track with things. We are still paying bills from the fiscal year 2007 with each week, and that always happens. There's a lag of from services we provide to when the bills come in, and that's just a continuous juggling of things. We are under continuing resolution from Congress for our federal budget. We don't actually have a federal budget yet, so we operate on those CR funds, continuing resolution. Which gives us a little breathing room, but it isn't really the full budget. So far that has worked well enough that we can manage effectively. Let's see. Those are the main highlights of the budget. Do you have any specific questions?
Commissioners, do you have any questions for Carl?
Well, like when you get the Social Security check, you know, in a lump sum like that, and you're kind of tentatively budgeting $173 a year, how does that, get earmarked or something, like last year, I guess I don't remember off the top of my head, how much did we get in Social Security reimbursements?
I want to say it was nothing last year.
That's what I was kind of thinking.
Yeah. In another recent year, which I think was the year before, it was about $23,000 or $30,000. But it seems like that's the year before. Nadia and Carlos are both gone now, but that's, I may not have the exact year, but
so if we're budgeting 173, and those 2 years there wasn't 173, then
right.
how did that work?
Well, we juggled some things. We worked hard to limit. We didn't order brochures. A lot of little things and some larger things that we just tried to make be very attentive to what we were doing in terms of operations, in terms of case services, but always with the mind that counselors don't ever not provide a service because of concern about the budget, or rather, make sure we connect with other resources and anything we could do to manage the budget.
So I imagine the 173 number came up by looking back over the last several years and kind of coming up with some kind of average.
Right.
Is there a way to, the reserve, like the state has reserves and we have a reserve fund to tap that, but then when the extra money comes in to replenish it, so it can have a more, even flow rather than...
Yes.
This money, we figure we're going to get 173, but rather than, in the down years, have to really scrimp and save. And is there a way to systematically tap the reserve fund and then replenish it?
I don't know if it's systematic, but yes, it is what we do. I mean, it's a constant kind of juggling from one year to the next, and there's always, often there is carryover from the previous year, but that's partly because there are also bills from the previous year that come in, as I already said, during the next year. And we do have a trust fund that has some reserves. So we do that on an ongoing basis, really. And Bill Brown keeps a constant look at where expenditures are, where the resources are. If you just look at fund balances, that's a little misleading because of the bills that, are still coming or not paid. But really we do all the time monitor things so that it is an even flow. It's not, we definitely, for example, we aren't saying, okay, we have $473,000, let's spend $400,000. I don't know how to describe it better, I guess, but we really do.
Well, this is really the only item like this. So we're budgeting 173 based on past performance, but it doesn't come in 173
right.
a year chunks. And so I would think it'd be kind of dangerous to get too dependent upon the reserve fund for other things. But at least this, if we haven't set the 173 too high, then it's just a way to deal with this on a 3-4 year basis rather than a year by year basis.
Right. And we do. Maybe I'm not describing it that way, but we really do. Bill projects the budget and works in what the expenditures will be, and we time when we can do certain things. Maybe the workstations is a good example because people have needed new furniture for a long time, but we have gone ahead and gotten specific items where something really is falling apart, and then other things that they're just sort of falling apart and we've waited on. I don't know if that helps, but we really do keep the valve so that it's not a... We definitely don't want to go through the business of major funding problems, layoffs. If state funding or federal funding plummeted, then that would be different. But in terms of our managing our funds, we really do keep, I think, a good handle on that.
Okay.
So, any other questions or comments, Barbara?
I was wondering about the older blind specialist and how that's I know we've gotten a few pieces of information about, you know, what's happening with that. I know that that's a new budget item and a new project overall.
Yes.
I wonder how that's going.
It's really going well. It started slowly. The funding began with the state fiscal year, July 1, and a fair amount of planning and conceptualizing occurred over the summer, but then we actually had the person on board October 1. But already she and Bob, Deanna Jesse and Bob Deaton are working on a number of different angles of the project. They're working with and talking to Centers for Independent Living, Health and Human Services, area agencies on aging, as well as other states, agencies for the blind that have older blind services. To the first year really is to get a handle on how we can network with and partner with those other entities for the people who are at risk of being placed into nursing homes. And we already know that our independent living training is very effective at helping people stay off the Medicaid rolls and stay out of nursing homes. But we're trying to find ways to more effectively identify those at-risk people, because there are so many and growing numbers of older blind people that we could have a whole agency the size of the commission that only worked with older blind, and we still wouldn't serve all of them. So we're really trying to focus on the at-risk people and partnering with other agencies. They have a lot of good ideas, so it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that might be an interesting topic for another.
It really would. Yeah. I wish we could have, told you more about the different things they're doing just already, but there wasn't so much time today.
We might put that on our list for sometime.
Mm-hmm. And then
maybe August.
Another part of the commission that has been affected budget-wise, the transition part of the consumers that the commission serves. How is that? I know that there has been work to incorporate other ways of using funding to make sure that that doesn't get lost in the shuffle. I'm wondering how that's going.
I think what you mean, the staff and supervisors, correct me if I'm wrong, although we don't have identified transition counselors anymore, in general, each office has generally one or two staff who are the primary people that work with the school systems. And but all of the staff, do serve in that capacity when they're needed, or, if they're in an area, they won't say, well, you have to wait till the specialists can get here. I'm not sure if that's quite what you mean.
Well, without that dedicated time,
right,
that the people who were specifically here doing that, has that become a load for the people who are remaining?
Okay. I'd like to ask Connie and Nancy to speak to that.
Well, one of the things that we were able to do in Lincoln is, the transition counselor now carries the transition caseload. And so Amy has mostly transition age people on her caseload. and she works with them in that way. So most of those people that are that age group go on Amy's caseload, and she specializes in that.
Thank you. Nancy?
That makes sense.
And actually, in Omaha, just because of the sheer number of IEPs that we get invited to, it's impossible for one person to carry that whole caseload. And so we do share that among a couple of counselors. James Rose still has the bulk of those. I have a couple, and so do Kathy. I have a few, and then Kathy Brown also. And we sat down and we talked about that whole protocol process and the importance of how we're working during IEPs. And then the other staff, as mentors, and that work with school districts so that they're there as role models for students and teachers. So, you know, I think that things are continuing, you know, very seamless. I don't see a big difference. If nothing else, maybe it's as well, if not better, because more people are able to do that. But the points of contact, we're still keeping, you know, pretty close, and not having everyone in the district as the point of contact for schools.
Thank you.
What about the Western?
I would say it's similar. I don't think I've heard Candy say anything in meetings that would be different from what Nancy and Connie have just said.
And I do think that Denise tends to still continue to work with a lot of the different students. You know, even when she was a transition counselor, they still had, like in Scottsbluff, a counselor that was there. She has just the distance that she had to travel. But when it really came time to work in the school districts and families, she had an integral part in that. And so I know a bulk of her caseload is the younger caseload.
Okay, are there, our time limit is up. Is there any more questions for Pearl?
Just one. What about wages?
Pearl, would you like to?
The wages program will continue. If we usually manage to get some funding from other entities, whether it's workforce or we've had to, Carlos in particular, has had to get pretty creative with obtaining funding for some of the parts of wages. But pretty much that's continuing. We all, of course, see it as a really important program. So,
well, it was smaller this year. Was that because of funding, because of student interest, or your...
It was not funding. Now, Carlos had some out-of-town company. He was here this morning, but is gone now. I know he could speak more specifically to it, but anybody else that can remember?
I think it's mostly because of the students, and there are some that had planned to attend, and then they had things within their family. And I think one or two students ended up getting some jobs in their community. So that is by chance.
Thank you. Actually, our last Winterfest was also quite a bit smaller than the previous one, but still it was a good group, 13. And I think it was the same kinds of reasons. There were it just so happened there weren't quite as many students that were available this time or that had the time and interest.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, we will move on to the website update.
Okay, thank you. well, Leah Dietrich did work on a project that we've really struggled with finding anybody that had the time, and she did a great job with this. Part of it related to developing the commission board packet. But because in the past we've encouraged new board members and new staff and the public, for that matter, to go to the website and you know, really learn about the commission. But we've also been aware there are parts of the website that leave a lot to be desired that we needed to improve. And also, when one works on a website, you know, if when you start following links, you may not necessarily go back and get to everything. And so we wanted one packet, and that means one electronic document that would have everything that's on the website, and one print packet that then could be made into large print if a person wanted Braille. We can do at any rate. So she worked on the entire website and made many changes to the website. We discovered to our my horror recently that emails to the webmaster, Val had always told us, well, at heart you don't get too many but once in a while, and so we thought that was a function of just, you know, changing, or there weren't that many emails to the webmaster. Well, it turns out they've been all going to a box, a virtual mailbox that someone has to manually go to. So you can't sit there and wait. We just figured this out. So that we have some old emails from the last several months wanting technology assistance and all. I hate to even talk about it, but yeah. Becky Bartling is now, she's the support staff in Kearney. She is going through everyone and responding. We wrote a little paragraph of apology, you know, and explaining. And, of course, my hope is that those folks who needed something would find another way to get it. You know, usually if you don't get an email back, then you call somebody or you figure something else out. So I'm hoping most of them are you know, have gotten what they needed. And some are just, you know, the things that didn't need response. I can't think of an example. But anyway, she's going through everyone and working on that. And I don't know that we would have figured all that out without Leah's assistance. And some changes in the content, quite a few changes that will be much better. With Nancy Kaufman's help, we figured out to make sure that the place online to apply for services or to refer someone, first of all, could be found. It wasn't a, you know, buried in five links under. And secondly, actually went to someone. So, you know, a lot of these things that a larger agency that had a dedicated person to look at the website would have been able to figure out, we've discovered as a result of Leah's good work. And we have then, as a result, the packet. There's a few things yet to be finalized, but it's something like 300 pages, 340 something pages of documentation. So you can, those of you who are not new board members can probably be relieved. But I actually think this will be a really good resource for people in the public that want to know about us, new staff, you know, all kinds of uses that we'll have. So it's had a good result. As far as the website, the web reports, the statistics, I think in the past quarter you probably got two monthly reports. I don't know if you received three. Once Kathy's on board and we're working together to really have a system down, you'll get those on a regular basis. And then you need to guide us if there are changes in the way you want us to present information, or, you know, whatever you want us to do with those statistics. Okay. But that's pretty much the website report. I haven't weighed this packet, but you can hear
it. Is it set up like with a, since it's all in like one document, is it set up like a table of content?
Yes.
So that if suddenly the new commissioner says, well, we're learning about this today, I want to read up more on
It will be.
Okay.
It isn't yet, but it will have a table of contents. We wanted to do that last.
Yeah.
That's when we know what the pages are.
That's
it. And also, it does not include the Rehab Act, which you can get online on our website, or the our four chapters of rule. We decided there's no need to have those. Those will be a separate electronic file, and of course, we have those in print in their own little booklets.
Okay.
So
that's a very good thing.
Yeah.
So is it loose leaf or is it bound?
Well, right now it's just draft papers. And actually what I think is that the print one will rarely be used. We would just more have it in a folder of, file folder to be duplicated if somebody ever wanted the print, but we can make it into whatever you want us to make it into.
Well, I think it makes sense to have it electronically, but just having the one, at least one that's print is a good idea too, because you never know who might be asking for that. Mm-hmm.
No, maybe we should have one kind of official print one with a cover and that's bound. That would be, or loose leaf, but in a notebook. Mm-hmm.
That's a good
idea.
That
might be a good way to go.
Yeah, I think that is a good idea.
And put the new logo on the cover.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Perfect.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's
perfect. Right. Mm-hmm. That's a very good idea.
Thank you.
I'm going to put that logo everywhere. Mm-hmm. Okay, any questions about the website?
Well, at first I was a little confused when things were were transitioning or whatever, and because some of the things are somewhat different. Like the wherever you're going is, well, from Jaws's perspective or whatever, the title thing would be at the top, but then you'd get the other links before you got the content of what you thought you went to.
Oh.
That's a little bit different from how some things are, but it works. Once you figure it out.
Well, the truth is, anytime you observe something, and that's a good example, something you as a user find, and especially if it really doesn't work and you don't like it, let us know, and because it's not just the JAWS, because obviously a lot of us use JAWS as well, but it's most of us don't really, spend much time on the website. So any suggestions or things that you notice, any consumers, anybody, we really would like to have suggestions. So Barbara, maybe if you can, do you think we should change that?
I don't think so necessarily. It was just one of those, okay, that's how this one is. Because, the problem is websites aren't standardized.
Right.
So we all, yeah. I always end up doing that thing of, okay, what does this one do?
Yeah. Okay.
It just seemed like another one of those deals to me. And I didn't find the information that I wanted. So that was the good thing.
Actually, speaking of that, as part of this process, we found some of the links actually didn't work. They went to nowhere. And so...
Yeah, I remember that.
We're getting there.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to move on to, and I don't know what time it is. We're going
it's
to stop
12,
at... 12. Okay, we have time here. We're going to stop at 12:30 to have lunch. The next item on the agenda is the Friends of the Commission update.
Okay. There's one friend of the commission here.
Dr. Nyman, would you like to speak to that?
Well, I have assumed some responsibility for creating a website, and now I know how to do it. I just put a link to the commission. I would say that I'm secretary, and I have about 30 minutes from about 30 different meetings. And one of these days, I'll review them and see what's been happening. But by and large, the you know, the Friends of the Commission is not now, nor really hasn't been a highly functional entity as far as its original purpose, which was to gather some money together to supplement and complement the work of the commission. So from that point of view, you know, we're very much and have been in a kind of a holding pattern. They're not a very strong set of commitments on the part of the board members to do the kinds of things which I think a lot of people can figure out how to do or what to do, but the actual energy to do that has not been there. So we are really in a situation where we're in need of a kind of a leadership. I'm prepared to function in a technical way as a secretary and provide some input, but we need to look at Roy Hobley, who is now the president, has had some health issues and is not as functional as he would like to be, perhaps, and what the Friends need to have in that capacity. Other members of the commission are very decent kinds of people, but have at best a marginal commitment to occasionally show up to the meetings or at least phone in and hope that the phone system will work well enough to have people, you know, participate in that. So from that point of view, it is marginally functional. We've talked about different ways of mobilizing resources through a monthly checkoff kind of contribution system, and that's still in limbo. It's not impossible, but it's a more costly enterprise than what we had originally thought. And so from that point of view, we're still looking at a mechanism that will get things done. We did look at a software package that might have permitted that, but unfortunately that thing is simply inaccessible to blind users, and thus is something we cannot get involved with, and I'm not sure that the software package is capable of being modified so that it could be accessible to blind persons. So that's again in limbo. The logo contest, we're hoping that there will be contributions to that can kick up a good design for a logo for the commission. And so far, I don't know what the status of that is. Pearl can probably talk about that. But I've agreed to put together a kind of the equivalent of a web website. I don't know exactly what a website is. I'm going to deal with them effectively by ignoring them. But I think that I have most of the materials that I could put together very quickly for a sort of a historical background of the commission and the way it's evolved to being what it is today, and then try to slot the Friends into that. Mm-hmm. To the extent that we have anything substantial, that is to say the legal work for getting the thing incorporated and our tax exempt status from the federal people, we owe primarily to the fine legal work that a member of the board, Bill Orister, took care of in the early stages, and we should thank Bill for that contribution. But we are in a holding pattern, and if a logo comes out and we pay the winner of that contest, mm-hmm. we will consider that we've done a good job at least for the short term. But look forward to the changes that will either bring about a decent burial, or else, or else B, bring about an effective strategy for a lifetime of work.
Thank you, Dr. Norman. The one thing that you didn't mention is that the Friends has, in previous years, provided funding to assist with paying tuition for some of our clients, and also on an ongoing basis, they do provide funds that I'm able to distribute on a discretionary basis for usually emergency situations that clients have. And that is something that is a huge help. It's not much money, but it's a huge help with our ability to be flexible for people in need. And so we appreciate that.
Yes, we do.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Dr. Nyman, for your report.
Okay.
Well, Pearl, are you going to say what the status of anything you've received in the local competition yet?
I am, but it's a later topic. I could address it now, or I could wait until later.
Better do it now, because I'm going to leave.
I'll do whatever my chairperson tells me to do.
Yeah, put it on my show. I think it's okay to go ahead and we have a person in the crowd that's interested, and we should address it. So, Pearl, please go ahead.
Thank you. The logo contest was advertised through email to all of the constituency that we could think of to get it out to our listserv, our staff, consumers, asking people to forward it on. And then also an ad was put in the Nebraska Daily Nebraskan, the campus newspaper. So that was a neat thing. We have seven entries right now, seven different designs. And we do have till the end of November. If anybody still wants to submit a design, we'll take those until the end of November. Six of the designs were from blind consumers, and one was from a person who I believe is on campus. I don't know if they're a student or professor or what, but that we didn't seem to have one design submitted as a result of the advertising. So at the end of November, we will schedule a meeting for Nancy Altman, Joe Buddha, and myself to go over the designs and see what we think.
Okay, I'm sure that all seven of those are wonderful or whatever, but I'm assuming that for whatever reason we can't really think that any of those suit our purposes, that we will continue on with the... I can't remember how we stated doing that.
Right. Yeah. I think we just were hoping we would get a good design.
Yeah.
I can think of two options.
The clear statement by the motion was that if nothing came in that was suitable, that we could open it again.
That's right.
That was very clear.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. We're going to really hope that we get something so outstanding.
We don't want to settle, though.
No.
Well, the other thing I thought of is it could be that there will be nuggets from different designs that actually might end up with a design that works for us. And I don't know if that's acceptable to you all, but...
The only problem, awarding the money would get interesting.
But. Yeah, that's the thing. The only thing that I can see, but I can see where, that you would like this from this one and that from that one or whatever. I can see that happening. Be interesting. Okay, I don't know how much time we have, but we next have NIS update. Is Wes still here?
I'm here.
All right. Would you like to give us some?
Do you have like a microphone you want me to come out or what?
I do have a microphone that's really for the recording.
Okay, that's what I...
Do you want to stay here or are you welcome to come further?
I'll stay here.
Yeah, I'll just set it down.
Okay. As far as NIS goes, we are attempting to get it to work with later versions of JAWS past 8.0. We're in discussion with Oracle to make that happen, but that's still pretty early stages. Open enrollment's underway and appears to be going well. I was able to complete it. One of the concerns that I have right now is, I guess, as a full-time employee of the Office of the CIO, I don't really know what the regulations and stuff are in terms of me providing these reports, since it is, I guess I don't know what the confidentiality concerns and all that are, and I just, I don't want to get in trouble with them, and I don't really want to leave people in the dark here either, because I think, it's a concern to the commission, but yet I don't want to break any rules, and I'm still trying to figure all that out.
It's an ongoing project.
Yes, Pearl?
Yes, thank you. I really appreciate, Wes, you coming today and speaking briefly about it. And if you would like for some further discussion on the issue you bring up, I'd be very happy to do that, and maybe to discuss with some powers that be in CIO's office. But in general, one of our biggest challenges is kind of figuring out what is actually a barrier that's a result of the accessibility issues, and what is a barrier because of NIST. And those of us who work in NIST on a regular basis, you know, generally we still struggle with parts of it, and it's a cumbersome, probably to say it best, software. In some ways, it works really well for some of the budgetary things that are necessary, and there are advantages to the system, but it's not a user-friendly in visually either. So the thing that we've tried to do is make sure that the workarounds, you know, if something isn't strictly gonna, if JAWS isn't going to be able to read a piece of the information somebody needs, that the workaround that's developed is not a 12-step for something that I need to use 3 steps for. And so one of the difficulties with open enrollment, for example, is that all staff do that themselves. That's where you sign up for all your benefits and all of that sort of thing, and it's yearly. But I'm sure you know, if you only use something once a year, no matter what it is, accessible or not, you're going to have trouble. So some of the challenges that people face are, you know, is the problem accessibility, or is it userability? So that's a challenge that we haven't really. But we know that Wes is in his position and staying alert to things that are that changes, and when there are new iterations of the NIST software, you know, are they working with the updated iterations of JAWS? That's always something that Wes does a good job of keeping on top of.
Mm-hmm.
And then reporting to Oracle, which is the company that actually makes the thing, what the problems are or where something's needs to be tweaked. It will always be an ongoing basis, because they do keep revising NIST and JAWS keeps changing.
Yeah.
As you know.
Yeah. Well, it's good, because that keeps Wes in a job.
This is true.
But how does the process work? So, Wes, I'm assuming your job is to be testing, be proactive, but then if someone from the commission or any department has a problem and they call NIST, I mean, do they get routed to you then?
Well, it's really kind of a complicated thing, because, you know, the way my job really started was that the commission needed someone to help test NIS, and so that happened clear back in 2003. So I was, you know, I was a temp employee, and then I moved forward into this full-time position with the Office of the CIO, which really now doesn't even really deal. I mean, NIST is there, but it's much more than that now, because I'm into web development and I test accessibility for a lot of other things. That's where, I guess, that's where a lot of my concerns lie that I brought up before. Is, you know, now, I'm a web developer. I do testing. I do listen to defects and concerns that are brought to my attention, and test those to see what I can do to fix them or report them to Oracle. But I guess it, I'm not. NIST is not my only duty, I guess, is the answer to that question.
What is CIO? Is that
Office of the Chief Information Officer?
Is that the state of Nebraska?
Yeah, it's a state agency.
Well, we certainly don't want you to, you know, tell us things that we shouldn't be knowing or that would make you lose your job or whatever, but we do appreciate you keeping us up and
on things, and we appreciate your, you know, making other things and websites accessible too. That's very good. Any other questions for Wes?
Wes, is like, you know, you're obviously every state has the same issues, government in general. Is there like some kind of group that you know, that you belong to or can affiliate with of other state agencies, government agencies, make just accessible business sites or government sites in general?
Unfortunately, I do not know of one. There are the Section 508 standards that say what a site should be and what it should incorporate, but that's just a federal law, and then Nebraska has state statutes for that. But there's no, I guess, clearinghouse or alliance of state agencies trying to make things accessible. We're all kind of out on our own, at least as far as I know right now.
Seemed like that'd be a good networking.
It really would, but I don't know how you'd get something like
that.
Well,
I wonder maybe just to the consumer groups first.
NFP does have something along those lines. They have a set of standards that they certify people as having an accessible site.
But anyway, yeah, it sounds like it'd be, you know, because it seems crazy for everybody to be reinventing the wheel all over different places. It'd be nice. There'd probably be a lot of information could be shared if there was a clearinghouse.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, any other questions?
Can I make a comment, Mr. Stewart?
Sure.
Bob, to your question, I think there is a group or organization on the web that looks at websites, and I think they have acquiesced to have their logo or imprimatur applied to a website if it does pass certain accessibility standards. Like, name of it doesn't come to mind right off the bat. There is some one group or agency that is trying to assess accessibility.
There are several.
Yeah, there are several. I know the American Foundation of Brian does, NFP. There's the thing called Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that stands for. I think
that's what you were talking about. Yeah, sounds like a good idea anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like I said, I don't think the food is up here yet, so I think we're going to push on until it is. So, the next...
Actually, Connie just ran to get the casseroles.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And she should be back.
Nancy has
the salad.
It was supposed to be here... around closer to 11:30 or maybe 12. So if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to make a call. Or Eric,
I can do it. Who did you get us from?
Sips and Subs.
Okay.
I don't know the phone number offhand.
I can go.
Bob, do you know Sips and Subs? Okay.
I can go down.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It's not a problem.
Okay, but I think we'll take one more topic here. We're going to do the NFP Newsline update. And I know that Jamie was in contact with me, and she said that their website was down, and she was going to get the information hopefully after 3:30 when she thought it would be back up again. I was not at home at 3:30 yesterday afternoon, so I didn't get it, but I'm assuming...
She sent us a report.
Did she?
Have it if you want.
Good. Would you like to do that for us, please? Because I didn't get it, but it was because I told her to go ahead and send it to the board members anyway, because, you know, you don't have control over websites being down.
Yeah.
If you wouldn't mind in the future, ask her to send it to me as well.
Okay, I will do that.
Thank you.
I will do that. I will make a point of contacting her.
Okay, she said, "Dear Commissioners, please allow me to introduce myself. My name is Jamie K. Forbus, and I've been a reader of NFB Newsline for 7 years. 2.5 months ago, I was appointed to the position of NFB Newsline Outreach Coordinator for the state of Nebraska by the President of the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska, Amy Burrish, the Executive Director of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, Dr. Pearl Van Zandt, and the former NFB Newsline Outreach Coordinator, Ryan Ozentoski. The office of NFB Newsline is still located in the Lincoln Office of the Commission, and the phone number remains the same. However, most of my work is done from my home in North Platte. Over the last 2 months, I've begun looking for funding options, talked with subscribers, to introduce myself and answer any questions, and worked with Mr. Osmatoski and staff at the National Center to learn the ins and outs of the service. I've also been in contact with Mr. Busey of the Kearney Hub and hope to have good news soon. I requested new materials from the National Center and have distributed these materials to all the commission offices. I still have user guides and NFB Newsline general information packets available in print, large print, braille, on cassette, or electronic format. These are available to anyone and can be sent upon request by calling me in Lincoln. In September, I spoke to participants of the four-year independence program here in North Platte. The beginning of October, I addressed the state convention of the NFB of Nebraska. At the annual White Cane Banquet of the NFB of Nebraska Omaha chapter in November, I gave a brief update and accepted a donation from the Telephone Pioneers of Omaha. In July, Kansas was added to NFB Newsline, and as a neighbor to Nebraska, it will benefit Nebraskans as well as blind citizens of Kansas. Also announced this summer is the new automatic login feature. Subscribers can call from either number listed on their application and automatically be logged in and out without entering any codes. This will continue as long as that number is listed on the application. Codes will still need to be used when calling from another number not listed on the application, but it will reduce the number of times the code has to be entered. Subscribers can change the numbers listed on the application at any time by contacting me. Up to two numbers can be listed at any given time. In the following months, I plan to customize the welcome letter that is sent to new subscribers, update the application to include more information from new subscribers, as well as talk to organizations in regards to funding. My overall goal as Nebraska's outreach coordinator, are to provide subscribers knowledge of the service and increase participation. I am honored to hold this position and thank you for your support. If you ever have questions, please don't hesitate to contact me. Sincerely, Jamie K. Forbus, LMT, Nebraska NFB Newsline Outreach Coordinator, 4600 Valley Road, Suite 100, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68510, phone 402-471-8102, email jkforbus@hotmail.com.
Okay, thank you, Barbara.
And then there's www.nfbnewsline.org. That's the end.
Okay. Thank you, Barbara. I don't think there, well, since Jamie isn't here, we cannot ask her questions, but it's a lengthy travel from North Platte. So I'm glad that she got those out. She indicated that she would, and she has always been a woman of her word, so I'm glad she did that. Now, I'm at a loss. Are we waiting for...
It's 12:35. We have everything except salad, and
okay.
So we certainly can break for lunch.
Okay. Why don't we go ahead and break for lunch, and then we will continue where we left off. And when it gets to be 1:30, somebody will remind me so that we can go down and meet and greet the...
So are we breaking for by about 1:25?
Huh? So how long are we breaking for lunch?
I'm thinking a half an hour.
Okay.
Does that sound reasonable to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the food is set up sort of buffet style over at the
Well, now what I have brought.